world's enemy number one. And it's time that we called it all out. Stop the war. Now. Good God. Hear me say it. Don't put it off another day. Everybody's singing. Stop the war. Now, 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 now. Don't put it off another day. All we got to do is. Cemeteries are overflowing. The leaders of the world claim victory's near, but the death list keeps right on growing. And what does a mother get in return for the life of the son she's lost? A few measly pennies a month, a medal, a grave, and a doggone cross. But there's not the war. Enough blood be shed by the wounded and the dead. Oh, enough blood be shed by the wounded and the dead. To the leaders of the world.
Welcome to Veterans Voice. We're glad that you're with us today. This is an exciting day. We have Friday coming up with St. Patrick's Day, and we're all in our little leprechaun uniforms here. And green, I even have a green pen to go with it. And Bill, I might say you look good in that little leprechaun uniform. We're glad to have you back. We'll update you on your condition in a minute.
Well, my green leprechaun shoes with those curved up toes, I'm having a heck of a time walking in them. But I got them all glittered, so they looking good, but they're tough walking.
All right. Marvin, and I might say that the little touch with the green teeth is, I kind of like that too.
That's just celery.
That's yeah, celery. This is KBOO Portland, and we are Veterans Voice, Northwest Vets for Peace. And we were going to have National Lawyers Guild Military Task Force. We're going to come on, and we were going to talk to them about a lot of problems that the female troops are having in Iraq and in Kuwait. And Marty got sick, and so she wasn't able to do it. And we'll have it later. We're going to do an extra show this month. I think we're going to be, I think Kathleen said, on the 29th of March. It'll be at the same time, and we'll get a hold of I'll get a hold of Marty again, and she'll we'll do that show on what's happening to the women soldiers in Iraq. And it's a pretty horrible thing. I want to read a little bit about what's going on, but she'll have more about it. And I want to tell Rainer Ward that I've been working on what you suggested, and I've been talking with the folks, Rainer, and back and forth, and you know, we're working on it, and we'll see what happens with that. It was a great idea, and I really appreciate it. So we'll be doing that.
This is a special show today, too, that we're doing because of the one on the 29th. Mark that on your calendar for the 29th. Because that's going to be a real powerful program. You won't want to miss that. We'll give you a little chance for a little pledge drive. The big thing today, we haven't done this for a long time, Marvin and Bill. We haven't taken calls in. And we're going to take calls today. So you can actually start
not yet.
Calling in a few minutes. We'll let you know. Get the number written down, and you may have to wait a little bit because we want to give people an opportunity. So kind of get yourself comfortable when you do to kind of relax and have your radio turned down. You'll be able to hear the over the in your headset on the telephone. The number will be the same old number, 503-231 8187, and there's no 800 number now, so it'll be just a straight call. But we got a few other things to go. We got a big rally coming up. We're shooting
rally
for good weather.
March, end the war, begin the peace. March 19th, Sunday at 1:30 at Waterfront Park by Morrison Bridge, and the first speakers that are going to be on there are Military Families Speak Out and Gold Star Families for Peace. Steve DeFord, whose son was killed in Iraq, is going to be the speaker. What we've done is we gave up our time for Steve to take the full time and talk about it, so we won't be speaking, but Steve will be speaking.
And those are powerful, Marv. Some of them may not remember what Gold Star and Blue Star are. Sometimes you see those. Somebody has them in the window. Maybe we should just remind them what those are.
Yeah. And so we're giving up our minute and 40 seconds that we would have had to speak to to Steve and Gold Star. And I'm also going to give up my spot on the stage to Adele Cubain, who is a member of Military Family Speak Out. And her daughter was in Iraq and was hurt. And so I'm going to give my spot on the stage to her and be down in the crowd supporting her that way, because I think it's really important that we support these folks and you know, hear what they have to say. They, you know, what they're going through now with their loved ones in Iraq is, you know, is important that you know, they have a say. You know, they get to talk and talk about what's going on. So I'm going to give up my spot on the stage to Adele, and so we're going to John, go ahead. Tell them what the Gold Star is. I forgot. I know.
Well, I recall it. The first time I recall it was during World War II, and when a family had a member of the family in the service, they hung a little flag in the window, and it had a blue star on it. And if that individual that the blue star represented happened to die in the military, then the star was changed from blue to gold.
Oh.
And they became the gold star.
Gold Star. Yeah, because I remember...
Gold Star families or mothers. Yeah.
Right. Because I remember when my uncle died in the Korean War. He was 19 years old. 19 years old when he was killed in Korea. And I remember my grandmother had the blue star at first.
Yeah.
And then when they found... He was reported as missing for quite a while, and then when they did find their bodies, his company had been wiped out. His tank, he was in the tanks, and the tanks had been overran, and they were all killed. And so then it changed to the Gold Star.
Yeah.
I remember my grandmother having that in her window. But, you know, right now, 2,310 Americans have died in Iraq. Tens of thousands of Iraqis have died.
Yeah.
You know, they're not really counting the Iraqis. But the thing about the Iraqis is that their population is really young.
Yeah.
I mean, their population is young. A large majority of their people are young kids in their teens. And so, according to Federation of American Scientists, that, 90% of all casualties in a war are civilians.
Yes.
So if you just look at it that way, boy, there's a lot of young people are being killed in Iraq, and, you know, we're really not seeing it.
And I think we should bring up also the number that are injured.
Oh, just amazing.
And the difference in this war is that because of improved technology, there are...
Right.
Actually, thousands of them that in a previous war would have died because of their injuries.
Right.
But technology is such that they're able to save these lives.
Yeah.
And so we're getting a false picture, and you say, well, that's good. Well, that's good, that's bad.
Right.
Because what we're seeing is that with the body armor and the increased technology in saving lives, the number that have permanent disabilities is just horrendous. And I apologize for not having that number right with me.
I saw it this morning, and I didn't write it down.
But it's in the thousands and
tens of thousands.
The last figure I saw was something over 17,000.
17,000?
Yes.
It's approaching 20,000.
And
you take, all of a sudden you have 20,000. You're talking about a real high percentage of these that they've lost at least one or more limbs.
Yeah.
And so we have fantastic artificial limbs now compared to what we used to have. But we're talking about something that is permanently affecting our country in the future, with no end in sight to it, because these are not injuries that you just get a cut or just a gunshot wound that you heal from, and then you're fine. You go on, and all you have is a physical scar to show for it. So we're dealing with two things here, and it really gets my ire up that we're not having some focus on this and saying we have thousands that are being affected in a permanent way. And you can't have that type of a permanent disability of losing an arm or a leg or a limb or something to your head, your ears, your eyesight, things with even
psychological.
Then there's the psychological. Now you've got something. How do you heal from a psychological type of wound that is permanent that you never get rid of? Mm. And I think one of our outcries really ought to be in terms of the ones that are injured. I'll be kind enough to give the VA credit for doing a good job. In fact, after that little outburst, maybe it's a good time to give an update on our brother Bill.
I want to talk about before we do that.
Okay,
is that one of the really things that are happened to our troops in Iraq is head injuries. I mean, there's a lot of head injuries, and man, that's a real problem. When these things go off and injure these troops, their brain gets banged around inside of their skull,
yeah.
And it really causes a lot of damage that, you know, it won't go away for a long time. If it ever goes away.
Well, because one of the things they're finding, for example, with some of these head injuries, is that the families that know them are coming back and saying, yeah, he seemed to heal okay, and yeah, we got him up and running, but there's been such a definite total personality change in the way he thinks. The brain has been damaged.
Yeah.
And you can say the person is, quote, healed and up going, but they're not the same. You've made a permanent change to the mind of that
function
person.
That process begins when you first enter the military,
yeah,
and it continues as long as you're in the military.
Right, and so that's a real problem, too. And I think that with what's happening is, you know, if you want to go on the Internet and see some stuff, go to vawatchdog.org with Larry Scott, and he has a lot of this stuff on his website. And one of the things that is a real problem is that these people that are running this government right now are underfunding the VA medical system, and that's a real problem to take care of our folks when they come back. And what's a crying shame is that it shouldn't be just for veterans to have that kind of care. It should be all of us. I mean, everybody in this country should have health care, just like the VA gives.
Absolutely.
Just like the VA gives us. They should all have, we should all have that. But they're underfunding the medical part of it. And one of the things that are really getting short shrift is the mental health part of the VA for when the guys come back. They're not getting, men and women aren't getting the mental health care that they should get because of the, underfunding. Tammy, let's play this little song here. We're gonna do some songs as we go through today, and she's gonna play number four. And
well, she's cueing that. This is Veterans Voice on KBOO Portland.
Okay, let her go, Tammy.
Yeah.
Okay, that's a really good song. It's called Military Madness, and it's by Graham Nash, Crosby, Stills, Nash & Young. And,
yeah, one of the all-time classics.
Yeah, and he does that. It fits what's going on today, you know, what they're taking. What is it, Bill? $400 billion a year for...
More than that.
Is it?
Condoleezza just went up to the Capitol and asked for another $70 or $80 billion in addition for the war in the Middle East that we've fomented.
Yeah, that's. Before we're going to talk a little bit about Hanford here in a minute, but I want to, while we're still on the VA stuff, I just got this thing about. It's from Doug Roeke, and we had Doug Roeke, Dr. Roeke, on our show talking about depleted uranium not that long ago. And he's really does this really good, well, thing about the VA not following their guidelines on testing people for depleted uranium, and also that the military is supposed to test folks, too, before they get out, and they're not doing it. And it's just an amazing, amazing story here.
He lays it out real well on his website. You might give the website.
I don't have his website.
Do you have the website?
No, I don't have it. But
you have to call him because he lays it out in just a real clear fashion. You can download it. I didn't bring it with, I have a copy that I downloaded and have given it to several people to read, and they just go,
yeah,
wow.
So if you would want to, just put his name in your... whatever it is, Google or whatever you have. His name is Doug, D-O-U-G, Rocky, R-O-K-K-E, and he'll have all this stuff about the depleted uranium. And it's just not in Iraq. It's also in Afghanistan. It's in Bosnia. It's in all these places. And even in Vieques, where they, they test fire all this stuff for years, to get the, all this stuff done. They finally had to quit doing that. But he has some of the stuff in here that that they're not doing. They're called dirty bombs, and this is what they should do. Bush and Blair should order medical care for all casualties, thorough environmental cleanup, immediate cessation of retaliation against all who demand compliance, and stop the already illegal use of depleted uranium munitions. And he's working on that. He's really trying hard. And there's a couple states that already passed some stuff to have the troops tested. Since the federal government's not going to do it, that the states have stepped up. And one of them's Connecticut. The other one is Louisiana. New York is just putting one through. Washington State has just got theirs passed, and they're also state government's also putting in $200,000 to work on it. And we've talked to Chip Shields here in Oregon, and we're working with Chip to do ours here in Oregon. And but we only meet what, every 2 years, Bill?
Yeah.
So we have to wait to. Right before Oregon goes back into session, and we're working with Chip on the wording of the one that we're going to do here in Oregon, and he's up for it. Chip's going to do it, and so we may go ahead and when we're working with Chip, maybe put in just like Washington did that $200,000, you know. And but they're supposed to already be doing this, and they're not doing it. They're just not doing it, and they have to be called into. You know, they have to be made to do it, and they're not going to do it.
Yeah, because for the most part, they've been just kind of ignoring.
They don't care.
Their own guidelines.
They don't care.
And their own directives.
This administration doesn't care what we say. I mean.
Nobody in the Pentagon's even hollering.
Oh, they're hollering, but it doesn't do any good. You know, we could have a million people in the streets in Washington, D.C. There could be 10 million people in Washington, D.C., and this guy in the White House doesn't listen. He doesn't listen. He will not take responsibility for what he's done. He will not take care of the people of this country. He does not care about what happens to us as a nation and as a people. And that's why these Democrats have got to stand up. Feingold, Bill, Feingold just tried to get him censored, and some of the Democrats wouldn't go along with
it. Boy, they ran like a bunch of rabbits, didn't they?
Oh, they did.
A bunch of them all. Yeah, they were all backing up like...
Boy, they were.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
It was a censor. They wanted to censor him, you know? And they just ran away from that.
They sure did.
Bill, you want to go ahead and talk about this here?
Yeah, I'd like to say a few words about the situation up at Hanford. Hanford is our legacy of... From World War II, and so anybody that thinks that the spending on World War II stopped in 1945 must give it another thought, because this cleanup effort at Hanford, which is the most polluted nuclear site in the United States, has cost billions and billions of dollars and will continue to cost more. And this message is from Hanford Watch President Paige Knight. The public needs to attend a scoping meeting for the mother of all environmental impact statements, which is being prepared for Hanford cleanup. The Tank Closure Waste Management Environmental Impact Statement. 3 years ago, hundreds of citizens attended hearings and testified on the Hanford Solid Waste Environmental Impact Statement in Portland, Hood River, Seattle, and Richland. The Department of Energy was planning to truck thousands of loads of radioactive waste from across the nation's weapons complex to treat, bury, or hold indefinitely at Hanford. The Environmental Protection Agency and the Washington Department of Ecology, the regulators of the DOE, Department of Energy, agreed with the public that the data supporting these actions was flawed due to poor computer modeling and poor assumptions. The final document that was to come from these hearings has been delayed for 3 years because of public and regulator outcry. We have been heard.
All right.
This new contract, which will come together after these new scoping hearings, is supposed to be based on new and hopefully adequate modeling of impact. The public has an opportunity to give input into this new, much broader environmental impact statement, to reiterate its vision for the cleanup of Hanford, and to question, will it cover comprehensive and cumulative impacts and risks of the tons of waste at Hanford now and of any imported waste from other sites? Do we want tank waste left in the 177 tanks and other burial grounds, or do we want it removed and treated? How extensive should the cleanup be done to the soil and groundwater, and how clean is clean? Do you going to leave a little bit of radiation or a lot of radiation, or how that's always been a question. How do we want to dispose of the 53 million gallons of highly radioactive tank waste? So we ask you to attend one of the following meetings to hear from others and to give your input into the future of our region. What will we leave our children and our grandchildren? And the meetings that would be important to the people in this area are March 22nd in Portland, Oregon, at the Red Lion Hotel Convention Center, 1021 Northeast Grand Avenue. And for you folks up at Hood River, it's going to be March 23rd at Hood River, Columbia Gorge Hotel, 4000 West Cliff Drive, at the Benson Ballroom. And I urge you to take an interest into this issue, because the long-range effects are certainly well known now, and we need to to leave our children a better place than we found it.
Yeah, that hotel that they're going to have that in. Bill, you and I, back after the first Gulf War, or during it, we went down there, and remember we did that radio show down there?
Yeah.
And you know who owned that radio station, and I think the hotel, was Greg Walden.
Yeah.
Because it was his wife that interviewed us.
Uh-huh.
And so it wasn't exactly a love fest when she was interviewing us. So, but she, Tammy, let's play one more song here before we get going here. Let's play number 5. And this is dedicated to all of you government officials who are listening to our show and to all these right-wingers that listen to our show, and, you know, they listen to us, folks. I'm telling you, they monitor our websites, and they listen to our shows. And so this is dedicated to all of you right-wingers, man. This is number 5.
Reader's Digest in the back of a dirty bookstore. A plastic flag with gum on the back fell out on the floor. Well, I picked it up and I ran outside, slapped it on the window shield. And if I could see old Betsy Ross, I'd tell her how good I feel. But your flag decal won't get you into heaven anymore. They're already overcrowded from your dirty little war. Now Jesus don't like killing, no matter what the reason's for. And your flag decal won't get you into heaven anymore. Well, I went to the bank this morning, and the cashier said to me, if you join the Christmas club, we'll give you 10 of them flags for free. Well, I didn't mess around a bit. I took him up on what he said, and I stuck them stickers all over my car and one on my wife's forehead. But your flag decal won't get you into heaven anymore. They're already overcrowded from your dirty little war. Now Jesus don't like killing, no matter what the reason's for. Into heaven anymore. Well, I got my window shields filled with flags I couldn't see. So I ran the car upside a curb, right into a tree. By the time they got a doctor down, I was already dead. And I'll never understand why the man standing in the pearly gates said, but your flag decal won't get you into heaven anymore. We're already overcrowded from your dirty little war. Now Jesus don't like killing, no matter what the reason's for. And your flag decal won't get you into heaven.
Oh, that brings good memories. You're listening to the award-winning program, Veterans Voice, here on KBOO Portland. A lot of people don't know of the many awards that we've won. For example, we have the NICE Award. We've won that again this year. That's from the National Institute of Caring Employees, and we appreciate that. So we, this is Veterans Voice right here on KBOO Portland.
Well, our trophy shelf is getting full,
pretty
John.
Full, yeah, awards shelf. That was John Prine flag decal, so that flag decal is not going to help you much anymore, you know. And that's what we're going to have, like I said, this week is Genocide Awareness Week, and it looks like it started on Sunday, but the ones that people can go to now is that there's a workshop up at Smith Memorial Union, second and third floors at PSU, and there's, what is it, from 10 to 12 is workshop on global responsibility, Uganda, public health effects and genocide in Rwanda. And from 1 to 3 is, here's a one, it's crisis in Darfur, a film on Armenian genocide, historical perspectives on atrocities. And at 3 to 5, peace tiles workshop, Guatemala and women and genocide. And at 7 o'clock tonight, it's a keynote speaker is Mohammed Yaha from will be speaking on current genocide in Darfur, Sudan, and that's in the Multicultural Center. So I think that's today. I'm not sure. That might have been. Yeah, that's today. And also today up at OHSU at noon, it's a public health effects of genocide. And Thursday is gallery night, 6 to 9, and that's at the Interstate Fire Culture Center at 5340 North Interstate. And it's Invisible Women of Darfur. Wow. And that should be an interesting one. And Friday night is Cultural Night, and that's at the First Unitarian Church at 1011 Southwest 12th Avenue. And there's going to be a play, scenes from Mother Courage. There's going to be dancing with Zimbabwe. And the speaker is Benson Ding, author of They Poured Fire on Us from the Sky. Ooh, it's about southern Sudan. And also a friend of ours, Native American storyteller Ed Edmo, is going to be speaking. So that's pretty good. And Saturday at 3 p.m. is Interfaith Dialogue at Resolutions Northwest, and that's at 1827 Northeast 44th Avenue, Suite 300. So that would be a good one. And Saturday night at 7 p.m., Evening Peace and Memorial Vigil, Oregon Holocaust Memorial, up at the Washington Park. So those are just some of the things that are going on for this Genocide Awareness Week. So those are pretty interesting. But, you know, they never gave me a phone number for people to call. I don't know why they didn't put a phone number on here. So, I don't know. Maybe I can find out about it, you know, who to call. So, I'm sorry about that one. But I want to, you know, we're going to do the show on the 29th from 9 to 10 because during Pledge Week, we're not going to, our show's not on during the Pledge Drive. So, we're going to take one and one of the days when it is so we can talk, you know, be on during Pledge Drive. And one of the, we'll try to get Marty. I'm pretty sure she'll do it. Marty will do it, or Kathy will do it from, they're in San Francisco from the National Lawyers Guild Military Task Force. And one of them will come on and talk about what's going on with the women in the military. And just one of the things that I know that they're going to talk about is that what's happening to some of the women, and this was brought up by Janice Karpinski. If you remember, she was the general at Abu Ghraib, and she brings up a lot of stuff, and she blames Lieutenant General Ricardo Sanchez for what's happened to the women. And one of the things that she talks about is that several of the women have died from dehydration because they refused to drink water late in the afternoon. And they were afraid of being assaulted or even raped by male soldiers if they had to use the women's latrine after dark.
Yeah.
And they were afraid to walk after dark. And this was at Camp Victory. And because the latrines, which are toilets, weren't located near their barracks. There were no lights near any of their facilities, so women were doubly easy targets in the dark of the night. And so that's a real problem, and the dehydration. And what happened also is that when all this information came out, is that the government decided that, wait a minute, we can't have that, you know, we can't have those reports going out like that. You know, it can't be made public. And they were dying in their sleep. And so what they decided to do, they weren't going to give briefings on it, that they would write it in reports, but they wouldn't give any briefings on it. And so that's just, you know, here's what Sanchez said about it. The women asked to be here, so now let them take what comes with the territory. And that's a general talking about these women who are dying because they're afraid to go out at night because they could get raped by their troops. That's just pathetic that they would do that. And so the military task force will talk about what's going on and with that. And so I think it would be an interesting show. So, John, you had something to say?
Well, we've got that's going to be a real powerful show, and we'll try to get some of the information. But I just want to encourage people to really mark that on your calendar, the 29th, because I think it's probably, it's been probably a year or two or more since we've had something along that line. But to me, it's one of the darkest sides of the military that really needs to come to light. I just think that it's very, very important because, it's affecting so many, many people. And it's absolutely one of the worst, most unfair things for these women that have gone in good faith and good conscience to try to do something for their country. And it's bad enough that they have to be in the military and involved in the horrible actions of the war machine. Yeah. But then to put on top of it that personal degrading kind of action is just totally...
Right, exactly.
And if it, anything like these things happened in civilian life, there'd be a lot of guys sitting in jail.
That's exactly right.
And there's
right.
some, my feeling is that there's some guys with stars, generals, that they should be sitting in jail.
Yeah, for not taking care
for
of
this
women.
Kind of stuff. Marvin, I wonder if we should, we got a couple of calls.
Okay,
if we take them quick.
Wait, I want to talk one more thing.
One more thing. You hang on. We will get to you.
I forgot.
We've already told Andrew that we might go a little over.
I forgot,
today.
John. You made me forget what I was going to talk about.
I'm sorry, Marvin. I think Rainer's on the line. Let's
go ahead
and kick him up. And you think of it. Don't forget.
Getting old.
Tammy, can you bring him up?
I'm already there, JT.
Good.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Hey, you said my name, so I thought.
Is that okay?
Yeah, that's fine because I have something I'd like to say. Getting back to DU, you know, you mentioned Doug Rocha. Well, there's a little paper in Texas. It's called the Lone Star Iconoclast, and it's published by a guy named Leon Smith, and he got together a bunch of people, and Doug Rocha was one of them. Because of an issue about depleted uranium, everybody knows what it does. It's uranium-238, and if it gets in your lungs, you know, you're just about guaranteed you're going to have some real bad trouble. And there's one of the interviewees is an Englishman named Chris Busby, and he's a chemical physicist, works for the University of London. And he's also a monitor for atomic radiation. And just recently, there was a study that was being sat on because this is interesting too. That you know, just like that Dubai wants to control our ports here. Well, guess what? Halliburton controls the atomic monitoring system in London, and in England, and they just got a Freedom of Information Act passed, I think it was in November, and so they had to get up off this study. And the study shows that England, Scotland, and Wales have all been contaminated with depleted uranium aerosol because when those shell casings and those tank armor and so forth blow up, they aerosol into a particle so fine it's 1/10 of a micron, and that's smaller than a bacteria. Gets up in the air, and it doesn't come down unless it's precipitated, you know, in rain or snow. And so the reason this guy down in Texas was interested in it was because the trade winds are blowing this aerosol to Texas, Louisiana, and Mississippi right down. If Katrina weren't enough, man, they've got this stuff too. So I just wanted to say a heads up because, you know, according to my 11th grade physics, Brownian movement says that in a given volume of gas, molecules disperse equally throughout. So when I was thinking about this, there is something, you know, certainly we have to stop it. We have to stop, you know, all the use of depleted uranium for anything and all the other radionuclides that are being spread around for whatever reason. But as individuals, there are things that people can do, and they're kind of low-tech. The Japanese, after World War II, were able to treat people for chronic radiation poisoning with foods that have enzymatic action, like miso, and kombucha is one, and that's all over Portland, too. And there's a product on the market called Vitalzyme. This depleted uranium aerosol attacks enzymes and causes, enzymes are like catalysts, and they cause all kinds of weird diseases like diabetes that there's no other, you know, logical reason for why someone would get diabetes. In many instances, it could be very well from depleted uranium, but
it sure could. And yeah. And I'm so glad that you're keeping up on some of the stuff and being aware of it, and you've just done an excellent job of giving out the information. We're kind of on the clock here a little bit.
Can I give you the website for this paper?
Why don't you give us the website, and then we're going to have to, we got another caller waiting and a couple items we got to cover. But yeah, give us the website there.
There's like seven or eight scientists talking about this in this paper, and it's LoneStarIcon.com.
LoneStarIcon.com.
March 1st issue of it.
March 1st issue.
Mm-hmm.
Well, thank you very much for calling in. We really appreciate that.
Thanks for letting me talk, too.
You
Jason.
Bet. We're sure glad that you were here. And thank you for listening. This is KBOO Portland with the award-winning Veterans Voice program right here. And Bill is with us today. And I just want to slip this in that... Bill, I'm so glad to see you, not in the hospital.
Thank you, John.
And see you here, and we should. I think it's appropriate to say thank you to all the people that that were caring and concerned about you, and you had a lot of prayer and support. And so we're pleased that you're here, and
yep.
And I kind of have a personal request, and that you'd stay around for about at least another 20.
Well, going along with that, John, I'd like to say a big thank you to the people at the ICU up at the Veterans Administration Hospital, Carla and the nurses that took care of me were just wonderful.
Amazing,
I've got the best care in the world. So I really want to give thanks to those people.
You bet. We're going to play one more little song here. This is a great song. This is in our big rally in 91. This is how I ended the speech I gave, and I asked these words. And Tammy, can you play number 13? This is how I ended the... my speech.
Yeah.
What is it?
Absolutely
nothing.
Yeah.
What is it good for?
Absolutely
nothing.
Say it again, y'all.
What is it good for?
Absolutely
nothing.
Listen to me.
Who wants to die? Oh, war!
listen to me. It ain't nothing but heartbreaker. I got one friend, that's the Undertaker.
Wow. Thank you for listening to Veterans Voice on KBOO Portland. I think that's probably one of the most powerful statements. I was just telling Marvin and Bill here where the song was playing. I like the simplicity and the directness and the irrefutable question, that the way it asks it. It's just so clear. And it is just as true today as when that was. Do you remember what year that was? That was what, 70?
Probably in the early 70s.
I don't remember. I don't remember
Edwin
the exact.
Edwin Starr died last year. He died in England. And he was young. I think he was only like 60 or 61 years old. And I think he died of a heart attack. So, man, that's a great song.
Oh, what a wonderful thing to still have on. I want to encourage you here to kind of mark your calendars on a couple of things. And Sunday, we've got a report in now from just came in from the Weather Bureau. They've just handed it to me, and they said that the weather on Sunday, March 19th, is going to be good. And don't panic if it doesn't look real good in the morning. Just plan on heading down that direction after you have a little lunch. Because it's the actual rally is at 1:30, but you'll want to get there a little ahead of that. I think there's going to be a pretty good crowd down there.
Hope so.
And it's at Waterfront Park. I think part of the purpose for this, Waterfront Park, that's by the Morrison Bridge, by the way, pretty easy to remember. Morrison Bridge, Sunday, March 19th, 1:30 p.m., and you can hold us to it. The weather report we have here says that the weather is going to be good. It'll be a little bit cool. But you won't get poured on with rain a lot, so make sure that you put that on your calendars. And we want to encourage you also, sometimes the timing isn't real good to listen to the evening news on KBOO, but they're running a special that's been going on this week, and it's really powerful, and I think you should try to listen to it at 5 o'clock, talking about how the military spending affects us right here in Oregon, and actually it's been in the past we've been kind of proud of our state that we're number 47 or 48 on the list of getting those dollars in, but what we're actually right now we're moving right up the line and we're up to number 35. We're getting more federal dollars in. And I'm glad the economy's up, but boy, I sure hate to see it coming from the military spending. And I'll tell you, with Darlene Hewley, I got to trace that down a little more. But with her behind it and doing stuff, I'm pretty disappointed. What's the note here, Marvin?
Okay, we got some phone calls. People want to walk with us on.
Fantastic!
On the 19th. So if you want to walk with us with our banner, we'll be down there, Bill. What about 1 o'clock?
Yeah,
we'll be down at 1 o'clock, right on the west side by the Morrison Bridge. And so if you want to come and walk with us and carry our banner, if you want. We'll be down there about 1 o'clock.
Yeah, the big green and white.
The big green and white banner, and we had a big bunch of folks went down to Albany at the Veterans Parade with us. Over 50 people this year, and if you want to walk with us, just be down there at around 1 o'clock, you know, and look for our banner. We'll be by the west end of the Morrison Bridge, and you're more than welcome to walk with us. You don't have to be a veteran. To walk with us, we don't discriminate against veterans and not veterans. We let people who believe like we do,
like-minded people, we share together.
We sure do.
Yeah, this is to mark the third anniversary of the invasion of Iraq
and occupation
and.
Go ahead, Bill.
It's important that we make our voices heard.
Yeah. So
it'll be 3 years.
Yes.
3 years. So just come down if you want to walk with us. Boy, you're more than happy because, you know, you don't have to be a veteran to walk with us or be part of us. And you're more than welcome.
Northwest Veterans for Peace is the award-winning organization that is behind this this program. Bill is our executive producer and Marvin's the program coordinator, and we have Tammy in the control room that has won numerous awards for her engineering excellence. And
many years she's been with us.
I'm JT, the announcer, and just a privilege to be a part of us. And we'd like you to come down and be a part of that.
Come be with us.
We'd appreciate that. I'm watching the clock because we got a great little song we're going to close with, and we want to kind of time it pretty good. March 29th. Did you go over and put that on your calendar? Take a minute. Take time to run over now and just put that on your calendar because we're going to do a special program. It's during Pledge Drive, and we'll give you an opportunity to be a part of this great program at the time. But more importantly, that program is going to be very powerful. And we've just checked with the higher authorities. We've received permission that you can record that program for yourselves in your home if you would like to, so that you won't have to go to the NSA and some of the others because they will be recording it, but they don't always make it available to us.
Tammy, could you go ahead and start The War Is Over by Phil Oakes? And we'll be back on the 29th to see you again. And please come down and walk with us. Thank you.
Framed in fantasies and drugged in dreams, unpaid actors of the mystery. The mad director knows that freedom will not make you free. And what's this got to do with me? Never made. Just to blind the blind, poison players. So do your duty, boys, and join with pride. Serve your country in her suicide. Find a flag so you can wave goodbye. But just before the end, even treason might be worth a try. This country is too young to die. Well,